Welcome back. This is an advanced Ableton Live Groove lesson, and we're going to zoom in on one of those tiny techniques that makes a drum and bass roller feel expensive, subtle timing offsets on bass stabs. We're not talking about messy timing, we're talking about deliberate micro-placement, a few milliseconds early or late, so your bass line plays around the drums instead of sitting on top of them. When this is right, the loop stops feeling like a grid and starts feeling like it's pulling you forward. Here's the plan. We'll build a 16-bar loop at about 174 BPM. The drums stay tight and reliable. The bass is split into two layers, a sub-layer that stays locked and confident, and a mid-stab layer that we're going to dance around the snare and the kicks using micro-timing, groove pool, and track delay. You'll end up with a push-pull pocket that feels rolling without sounding sloppy. First, session setup. Set your tempo somewhere between 172 and 176, and let's just pick 174 as the baseline so the timing numbers translate cleanly. If you're using audio stabs, check your warp mode now, because bad warping will ruin timing decisions. For short stabby audio, beats mode is often the cleanest. Try preserve at a 16th or 32nd. If it's more harmonic, Complex Pro can work, but listen for transient smear, and make sure delay compensation is on in Ableton, because plugin latency can trick you into fixing timing that isn't actually the problem. Now, anchor the groove with drums. You need a stable reference, otherwise you won't know if the bass is late or if the drums are inconsistent. Build a basic modern roller pattern. Keep your snare dead on 2 and 4. That's your ruler. Hats can shuffle. Ghosts can move. But for this exercise, keep the snare planted. If you want a quick ear calibration trick, add a short click or rim shot on its own track that hits only on 2 and 4. Leave it muted most of the time. When you're unsure whether the bass feels late or just blurry, unmute it for a second. It's like turning on a laser line in a construction job. It makes late obvious. Add whatever drum processing you like, but keep it sensible. Drum bus on the drum group is great, a little drive, and keep the boom low or off because we're going to let the bass own the sub-region. A touch of saturation can help stabilize peaks too. The key is consistency, not chaos. Next, the bass layers. This is the big pro concept. We do not randomly micro-shift the sub. The sub is the foundation. The mid layer is the groove tool. Create a MIDI track called sub bass. Use operator with a sine wave. Give it a clean envelope. No click. Short release. Maybe 60 to 140 milliseconds depending on how legato you want it. At EQ 8, low pass somewhere around 120 to 180 so it stays pure. If there's rumble, trim below 25 or 30 Hz. Sidechain compression from the kick is optional. If you do it, keep it musical. You're aiming for pocket, not overpumping. Write a simple rolling sub pattern that matches the drum cadence. Keep it gridlocked for now. If you change anything later, change the notes, not the timing. Now create the mid-stabs track. This is where we get sneaky. Use Waveitable for a modern stab, or operator for FM byte. Shape it like a stab. Fast attack, a decay around 150 to 300 milliseconds, low sustain, and a controlled release. Add saturation with soft clip to keep it solid. Use a filter if you want movement, and then do something critical. High pass it, usually somewhere around 120 to 200 Hz, so it doesn't fight the sub. Put utility after that if you want width, but keep the low end mono safe. Remember, the lower the frequency, the more timing changes feel like phase problems. Before we micro-time anything, write a clean stab rhythm. Here's a classic one-bar idea. A stab at 1.1.3, one at 1.2.3 right after the snare, one at 1.3.3, and one at 1.4.2. Quantize to 16ths first. The point is to create a baseline where everything is correct before we start bending the feel. Now the micro-timing. This is where most people either do nothing, or they do way too much. At 174 BPM, 5 milliseconds is subtle and pro-tight. 10 milliseconds is clearly groovy. 15 to 20 milliseconds is a special effect and can start feeling lurchy. If you want a musical reference, around this tempo, a 1/128 note is roughly about 10 to 11 milliseconds. Ballpark. So when you nudge a stab 8 milliseconds late, you're basically moving it a little under a 1/128. Thinking like that helps you stay consistent, especially if you change tempo later. Open the MIDI clip for mid-stabs. Zoom in until you can really see the note start. Turn fixed grid off so you can place notes freely. Then use Alt-Drag on Windows or Option-Drag on Mac to nudge the note start in tiny increments. If you prefer, set a very fine nudge grid and use the keyboard nudges, but free movement is usually faster for this. Here's the practical push-pull pattern that works in Rolling D&B. Use the snare as the center point. Any stab that happens after the snare, like around 1.2-something or 1.4-something, try moving it slightly late. Start with plus 6 milliseconds. Then try plus 8. If you want it heavier, go toward plus 10 or 12. What you're listening for is that the snare stays crisp, and the stab feels like it lands with weight just behind it. Late equals swagger. Now for stabs that act like pickups into kicks, especially those that lead into the next beat or the next bar, try moving those slightly early. Start with minus 4 milliseconds, then minus 6, maybe minus 8 if it stays clean. Early equals urgency. It leans the groove forward. A really important teacher note here, separate groove from flam. If your stab starts to sound like it's flamming with a drum transient, it might not be that your timing is wrong. It might be the attack shape. If the stab has a slowish attack or a blurry transient, shifting it late can make it feel like a double hit. Before you push timing further, try tightening the stab's attack by 1 to 3 milliseconds, or add a touch of transient emphasis with drum bus or controlled saturation. Sometimes the fix is tone shaping, not timing. Also, timing is not only the start of the note. In drum and bass, the end of the stab matters a lot. A long release tail can smear into the next kick or snare and make your timing changes feel worse than they are. If you want longer stabs but cleaner pocket, try a gate on the mid stabs keyed from the kick or snare so the tail gets out of the way rhythmically. That keeps the groove readable. Next, groove pool. Think of micro offsets as surgical and groove pool as vibe. Grab a hat or shaker clip first, because that's usually where swing belongs. Pick a groove from the browser, drag it into the groove pool, and apply it to the hats. Then, apply that same groove lightly to the mid-stabs clip as well. Start gentle, timing at 10-25%, random at 2-8%, and if velocity mapping works with your stab patch, add a little velocity movement. The D&B rule here is simple. Don't swing the snare. Swing the hats and maybe a little bit of the mid-stabs. If you want an even more controlled method, try this advanced trick. Swing only the offbeats. Duplicate your mid-stab MIDI clip. In the duplicate, delete everything except the offbeat stabs, the ones that feel like and hits. Apply groove pool only to that clip, resample it, then merge it back. You get the swing feel without dragging your main hits. Now track delay, which is different from moving individual notes. Track delay shifts the whole mid-stab layer earlier or later without changing the relationships inside the pattern. This is how you place the entire layer in the pocket. Open the mixer section so you can see track delays. Then try setting the mid-stabs track to plus 5 milliseconds. That usually sits it behind the drums and makes it thicker. Or try minus 3 milliseconds if you want the mid-stabs to bite forward. A great workflow is, use note offsets to create the internal push-pull pattern, then use track delay to decide the overall pocket against the drums. As you do all this, protect your low end, because even if you high-pass the mids, phase perception can still mess with you. Do a mono check. Throw utility on the master temporarily and set width to zero. If the groove collapses or your low end disappears, you've had a widening or layering issue. Use spectrum if you want visual confirmation, but your ears will usually tell you. If the sub feels like it loses confidence, something's fighting it. And while you're judging, check timing at two monitoring levels. Quiet playback tells you if the placement reads as groove. Loud playback exaggerates low mid masking and can trick you into moving things too far. If it only feels right when it's loud, it often isn't actually right. Let's talk about making this work over 16 bars, because micro timing is most powerful when it evolves. Here's a simple arrangement arc. Bars 1 to 4. Keep offsets minimal, plus or minus 5 milliseconds. Establish the baseline. Bars 5 to 8. Increase the late feel on post-snare stabs. Push those to plus 8 to 12 milliseconds. Keep pickups mostly early if you're using them. Bars 9 to 12, introduce one early pickup stab, maybe minus 6 milliseconds, before a drop fill or a transition moment. Just one can change the energy. Bars 13 to 16, either pull back tighter for contrast, or exaggerate the pocket for last four hype. Another sick move is the bar 16 regrip. In the final bar, reduce the offsets and narrow the stereo slightly. When the loop restarts and your normal pocket returns, it feels deeper and wider without adding anything. You can also create call and response timing. Make two stab types in your mind. Type A is the answer, slightly late and heavier. Type B is the question, slightly early and leading. Alternate them through the bar. It makes the bass line feel like it's speaking. And if you want a controlled human feel, try a timing velocity rule. For example, quieter notes slightly earlier, louder notes slightly later, or the reverse. Pick one rule and stick to it for 8 bars. That's how it sounds designed instead of randomize. Once it feels right, commit it. Freeze the mid-stabs track, duplicate it, then flatten the duplicate to audio. Now you can do tiny audio nudges, like 2 to 8 milliseconds, with micro crossfades on every edit so clicks don't bias your judgment. This is / B between MIDI groove and printed groove is one of the fastest ways to train your ear. Quick mini exercise to lock this in. Build a 2-bar loop with drums, sub, and mid-stabs. Duplicate the mid-stabs clip 3 times. Version A. Fully quantized, no offsets. Version B. Post-snare stabs late by about plus 8 milliseconds, pickups early by about minus 5. Version C. Same as B, but add groove pull timing around 20% and random around 5. Loop and switch between them. Don't just listen with your brain. Watch your body response. Which one makes you nod harder? Which one makes the drums feel bigger? Then render all 3 and check on headphones and small speakers. Often the best groove reveals itself when the sub isn't dominating. Before we wrap up, common mistakes to avoid. Don't micro-shift the sub layer like it's a percussion loop. That's how your mix loses its backbone. Don't make everything late. That becomes sleepy instead of heavy. Don't swing the snare in rolling D-D-N-B. It's the ruler. And don't ignore note length. Long stabs with long releases can smear over the next drum hit, making timing adjustments feel wrong. Shorten the release, gate the tail, or sidechain the mids lightly. Recap, micro timing is push and pull around a stable snare. Keep the sub locked, and let the mid stabs do the dancing. Use 3 tools in layers, note start offsets for the pattern level groove, track delay for the global pocket, and groove pool for vibe. Live in the 5 to 12 millisecond range most of the time. Small shifts, big impact. This audio version is shortened for playback.